بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا. We have honored Bani Adam in his physique, in his composition, in his intelligence and reasoning, is in his ability of analyzing and rationalizing. He is second to none. His temperament is totally balanced. If he is in the state of anger, he doesn't become uncontrollable like an animal. It will just tear apart, it will break down and destroy. If his spirits are low, then too he is able to manage himself. He will not just go into isolation and die with despair and depression. So in all situations, Allah Ta'ala has granted him a very, very level, balance and a moderate temperament. Something unique with man. Then he's got the ability of expressing himself. What is within the most discreet recess of his heart and mind, he can express himself verbally and in writing. You see, any other creation that can express itself fully, whether verbal or in writing, it may be able to express some feelings, some instincts, it may be able to express, but as comprehensive and complete as man, to see exactly how you feel, what's in your mind. So that ability has been blessed only to mankind. He is so comprehensive, he is so complete, that everything, the last thing that's in his mind, he can express himself. Then you look towards his behavior and character, then in his character and behavior also he is complete and comprehensive. He isn't overwhelmed with temptations like a beast, animal. It's so overwhelmed that he'll do anything in the presence of anybody. You'll find the grandfather, the granny, and the child, and the grandchild, the son-in-law, and the daughter-in-law, everybody is free for everybody. There's no such a thing like zina, no such a thing like prohibitions, and no such a thing like taboo. Everything works. And in the presence of everybody. So mankind is so organized. He's not just overwhelmed and overcome with temptations. And similarly, he is not overwhelmed with evil. One is temptations, one type of wrong, right? And one is evil in general, like the jinnat. Then the ability to do wrong, inclination to do wrong is greater in them than the ability to do right. Therefore, the shayateen and the jinnat could not be appointed as the vicegerent, because the vicegerent needs to have that type of balance, the type of level-headedness, that he can rule in every situation. He can't be overwhelmed with situations. And if he's overwhelmed with situations, then he can't give a good judgment, he can't give sound judgment. His judgment will be influenced by his temperament. His temperament is inclined towards evil, so his judgment will also be wrong. So on the one side, he is not overcome with evil, and then he is not overwhelmed with just righteousness, as we understand righteousness to be. The level of righteousness is so high that he doesn't see the need to eat, he doesn't see the need to drink, he doesn't see the need to sleep, he doesn't see the need to marry, no needs at all. And that is the malaika and the angels. the ability of righteousness is so high that they don't have that feeling at all. No feeling for food, nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. There's no need for it. No need to marry, no need to eat, no need to drink, no need to sleep. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ They don't ever find any type of tiredness. Now that's the malaika. So Allah Ta'ala has made him a personality, a person with total moderation, balanced out. If he's got temptation, then he's got inclination towards wrong, he's got inclination towards right, and overall he's balanced, he's complete. So therefore if he excels, if mankind excels, then he'll go even further than the malaika. Therefore the elite amongst men will be greater than the elite amongst malaika. The anbiya, the rasuls, will be greater than Jibreel, Israfil, Mikael, Israel, al-Islam. In the Mi'raj, Jibreel Islam is accompanying Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is my muntaha, this is the ultimate, I can't go beyond this. If I go one step beyond this, I'll be burnt to ashes. And Allah Ta'ala expressed this excellence of man when the malaika had to prostrate. And how you understand that this was an expression of seniority, an expression of greatness, was when Shaitan refused, he said, أَرَأَيْتَكَ الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَرَأَيْتَكَ الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ Do you see the one that you have granted honor to over me through this prostration, this whole procedure of a prostration and bowing down? What did Allah Ta'ala show? He showed that the martaba of Adam alayhi salam is far greater than the people that had prostrated to him. Therefore, they had to prostrate to him. So, the malaika had prostrated. Malaikatu kulluhum ajma'un. The Quran Sharif says that all, without exception, kulluhum ajma'un, with total emphasis, all malaika, without any exception, all prostrated. So, hence we understand that the Bani Adam is even greater than the malaika, that is the elite amongst them. And then after the Anbiya alayhim salam, then the elite amongst people thereafter, the elite amongst the general people are greater than the general malaika, awliya-i kiram, great mashayikh, etc. Right? Their maqam and their martaba, their position is greater than the general malaika. Right? So, how much Allah Ta'ala has elevated you, how much He has honored you. So your position is something that you need to recognize and you need to understand. In this whole equation, what's your position, what's your maqam? The Quran Sharif says, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ That your whole position here was what? Was abdiyat. It wasn't just to remember Allah Ta'ala, because the malaika also are remembering Allah Ta'ala. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ Allah Pak speaks about the malaika, that they remember Allah Ta'ala all the time, without flagging. They remember night, day, all the time. No tiredness. So when Allah Ta'ala speaks about Bani Adam, then your whole position is quite different to the rest of the creation. Overall, all creation remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِ Everything remembers Allah ta'ala. That means, everything has got some type of reason, some type of understanding. If it had no understanding, could it have remembered Allah ta'ala? Couldn't have remembered Allah. It's remembering Allah ta'ala, that means it's got some type of understanding. The pebbles came into the hands of Nabi Sosam, and the pebbles had engaged in zikr. And that zikr was audible through the Sahaba Kiram. So the zikr wasn't the miracle. The miracle was that they had been able to listen to the zikr. Because irrespective, the pebbles and everything is engaged in Allah's remembrance. But now the fact that became audible to the people that were around, That was the miracle. The food came into the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the zikr of that food is audible to the Sahaba Ikram. Right? Sahaba Ikram also listening to it. That pillar which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take support, and then he had moved on to the minbar when it was constructed, its sobbing was heard until the right, until the last surf. Everybody could hear it, the sobbing, until Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to descend and come and comfort that thing. So that thing has got some type of understanding. When one mountain, it talks to the other mountain, it asks, had there been anybody remembering Allah Ta'ala on your, on this range, on your range, was there anybody remembering Allah Ta'ala? So when this thing replies in the affirmative, this one rejoices, Alhamdulillah, there is someone that remembered Allah Ta'ala on you. So they have the understanding of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah Pak Sassam, Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, and perhaps Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu was on the mountain Uhud. And then Mount Uhud began to have a little bit of a shake. And Nabi Sallam said, mountain, oh Mount Uhud, just remain still. Because there is just a Nabi, a Siddiq, and two Shaheeds upon you. So the mountain was too excited. It was too excited. Can't contain itself. Can't contain its happiness. That today, of all people, of all things, I am carrying a Nabi. I am carrying a Siddiq. I am carrying two Shaheeds. Gee, so can I deserve any honor greater than this? Rasulullah is mounted his camel, the Adaba, and is moving for Hajj. And is moving, is in the rituals of Hajj, Mina, etc. And that Adaba, that camel, is out of control. It's moving. And until Nabi Sallam had to pull up the stirrup tight towards him. And that is going out of control. And the obvious reason is, you know, this camel must have been feeling so great about itself. It's a farewell Hajj. It's an obligation for us of Islam. Hajj Akbar, right? And in the company of all the Sahaba Kiram, the greatest of the great. And with Nabi Sallam over me. And then in these holy maqamat, sometimes I'm in Arafat, sometimes I'm in Makkah, sometimes I'm around the Baytullah. So what must be the level of his happiness? On the day of Nahar, the day of Eid, and Nabi Sallam is slaughtering those camels. Kullun yazdalifna ilayhi bi'ayyatihinna yabda'u. Abu Dawud Sharif, the hadith says that all of them are rushing towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah must start with us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam start off with us. In the name of Allah Ta'ala, our lives are being taken at the hands of the most beloved. What else do you want? What else do you want? You have an animal now, it's racing towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Please start off with me. So they also have a sense of reasoning, they have a sense of understanding. They understand the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is one side of it. That is, they are engaged in Allah ta'ala's remembrance. When Allah ta'ala speaks about Bani Adam, what he says, liya'budun. We have created him for our service. Allah didn't say liyusabbihun, that they may engage in tasbih like the malaika. He said, liya'budun. So, what's so different about mankind that Allah Pak says that I've created him for my service and not just for my remembrance? There must be something unique in mankind, something quite different. So there are two type of workers that you would have. One is a worker that is contracted, right? You have contracted the services of an accountant, right? In your business. If you ask the accountant, you know what? Today I want you to do some architectural work for me. He said, I'm not trained for that. Or you tell him, you know what, today you must go on to, into that branch and manage my tea room there. So I'm not contracted for that. I got a catering division, you must go and cook for me. No, I'm not trained for that. He will blankly refuse. I'm just trained for that one single thing. I will do as I'm being trained. You can't expect me to do something that I wasn't trained for. Right. The same applies to any other worker that you have got that is contracted to a particular work, particular task. He will tell you blankly that I am only trained in this particular work. I can't do anything beyond this work. So this is one type of worker, right? And there is another type of a worker. His portfolio is general. He's like a slave, right? Today you will tell him clean the toilets, he will clean the toilet. Tomorrow you tell him sweep the floors, he will sweep the floors. The following day you tell him, you know, you must prepare tea and look after the guests, he will do that. Then you ask him the fifth day, you must prepare food, he will do that as well. Then you ask him, you see, I'm going for Hajj, you need to accompany me, right? So he'll accompany. And then the sixth day you will say, you know what, I'm going for a business and you need to be standing in my business, in my place. He's got no other choice but to manage the business of the boss in his absence. So one day he'll be in the toilet and one day he'll be managing the post of the boss. So this is Bani Adam. Right? He's Bani Adam. And therefore he's been exalted above all the other creation because he has to manage the affairs of the entire universe. Not just one branch. All affairs pertaining to this universe, he has to manage everything. And therefore Allah Ta'ala has granted him this excellence and Allah Ta'ala has exalted him like this, that you are going to manage the affairs in my absence. In my place, you will be managing everything. So this is what is meant by liya'budun. You will be serving. It's created you for my service. My service means that you will be acting in my place. Liyakhlufun. In my place, you will be acting. So you cannot be selective that I'll do this and I will not do this. I'll work like this and I will not work like this. Whatever is required of you at whichever time, you're going to do it. Allah Pak will tell you, today, you will go and learn. So you have to go and learn. All the obligations, all the farais, you have to go and learn. Then he tells you, you'll have to go for Hajj, you'll have to undertake this journey. So you have to undertake that journey. Then he'll ask you, you'll need to do a business. And you'll have to do that business. Talabul halali faridatun. Says you'll have to do business, so you'll have to go and do business. Or you'll have to do farming, you'll have to do farming. You see. Now he cannot complain to Allah Ta'ala, you know what? The malaika are engaged in your remembrance all the time. And why must I just get into business? And whilst they are getting into your tasbih and your remembrance all the time, he cannot ask that question. Rabbi will ask me, you do your business. And you'll have to do that business. I have appointed you as my deputy, as my vicegerent. So you will run and manage all affairs. Any affair that I ask you and I appoint you upon, you're gonna run that affair. You're not gonna ask why, when, how, who, you're not gonna ask any question. Why you are a slave. What Tani Sahib Rahmatullah says, that whilst I was studying, one strange thought came to my mind. That I must have some control of some jinnat. You know. The youngsters, they like this type of stories. After Maghrib, Isha, just before sleeping, they like this type of stories. And then, after Isha, then the jinnat start catching them. They caught the jinnat before. And then when they all alone in their rooms, the jinnat begin to catch them. It's a catching game. So Mawla says now, you know, at that age now you're quite adventurous, you want some excitement. So I wanted to control some jinnat. I look at the excitement, and apart from the excitement, how many people I'll be able to treat, I'll be able to do wonders, excitement, all that. So I went up to my ustad, Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and I explained the whole situation to him. You know, I want this. In that zamana, the very, very unique thing amongst the students, ulama, etc. was this. They were very touched, very, very strongly attached to their seniors. They won't do anything without consulting. Whatever, small or big, they will consult. And they saw the barakat in it. Any small thing or big thing, but they will consult. They will consult, they'll ask, what should I do? To the extent, if they need to go for a small journey, small thing. They will ask. They will not do it themselves. They didn't have that independent attitude. You know, I can't be bottled up. I can't be strangled. I must be able to do my own thing. Why must I bottle myself up? Allah has created me free. They went like that. To the extent I have seen these great people, these great luminaries, they were married with children, children already married, right? And therefore undertake a journey from Spingo, for example, to Durban. They will still ask the elder, "But I need to go for this, should I go?" Independent, they don't need the elder. They don't need anything of him. Not financially, not no type of help. But they will ask, "I need to go for this, should I go or shouldn't I go? What do you think about this?" So this, the bonding and the affinity was so great. And because the bonding and the affinity was so great, then everything worked out very easily in their lives. The colors of the elders then rubbed on very easily. Because the elders also assumed responsibility for them. Like they felt that they are under obligation. They are under the wing of the elders. Right? So whatever they are doing, they need to consult. So the elders also, when they saw this type of response, then they felt that we have an obligation towards them. In the absence, we need to make dua for them. We need to see to their affairs. What's going on? What's not happening? What's happening? So you will see that all the affairs are just working out and very smoothly, very easily. Right. Then what happened after that is, we went into this Western secular education, right? When we went into this education, then it created a mindset. The mindset it created is a mindset of independence. Like when a person is asked to write a thesis, right? He's made to write an article in university. Then they talk about it that they want independent thought. The thought must be independent. It mustn't be a borrowed thought. So what is it creating in that individual? The thing that it's creating in that individual, that he must be independent of everybody else, in a free atmosphere he must just do. He doesn't need to be tied. He doesn't need to be bottled up. He doesn't need to be in chains and shackles. He must be doing his own thing. Now, this was that very dangerous period in mankind where he thought he need to be totally separated. Other Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya says about his father's training. What type of training, what type of discipline the father gave him? He says that I wrote a letter to one of the elders of the time, Buzurgan Adil of the time, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Right? I wrote a letter to him that I want to come and spend the Ramadan, whatever else. And Sheikh's father got to know about it, that he's written a letter. And now, at that time, Sheikh was about 17, 18, 19 years of age. So the intention is virtuous. What he wants to go and spend some time with the great Buzurg. You can't doubt the integrity of the Buzurg, because the father himself goes to the Buzurg for duas, etc. You can't doubt the integrity of the Buzurg, right? You can't doubt the integrity of his intention. There's no wrong intention. But when the father got to know about it, okay, my son wrote a letter to a great Buzurg, right? Father called him. Father asked him, "Abhi tera baba to zinda hai, aur tune jandae istiqlal ko buland kar diya. Your father is still around, and you have hoisted the flag of independence. Jandae istiqlal ko tune buland kar diya. You hoisted the flag of independence. Your father is still around." So what was the father doing? Did the father feel humble that my son didn't ask me? Did he find it beyond his integrity that the son must just do things? It wasn't that. Thereafter, after some years, Zakariya worked, and then from some small thing he asked, you know, he told his father, "You know what, I feel so incompetent, you know, I feel so incompetent, so deficient without you." So now his father says, "Ab teri nisbat to bahut hi mazboot ho gayi. Now your association and your connection with Allah has become very strong." Like how, you know, you'll have a great Buzurg, 70 years of age. So his father says to him that your nisbat with Allah Ta'ala is so strong. Like how you'll find a Buzurg 70 years of age, And his nisbat with Allah Ta'ala is so strong. So your nisbat is so strong. Now, ab tumhare batak jane ka andesha nahi. Now I don't have a fear for you going off. But until you are not as strong, then for you to remain tied was the safer route, the safest route. But now that you are so strong, then it is virtually impossible that you will go off. Like how a mango ripens, right? After it's ripened, does it come green again? Does it reverse? You can't reverse it. It's ripened, it's ripened, you can't reverse the thing. Or the milk has come out from the udder, and you can't return it back to the udder. Can you return it back to the udder? You can't. So when it's ripened, you can't bring it back to that green state. So similarly, now that you have ripened, and you have ripened so much, you can't be reversed. Allah Pak's support is with you, His help is with you, because of your connection with Allah Ta'ala. It's not that it is impossible, but it's improbable, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that way. Now the father says, no, now you have strengthened. So the whole focus was the strength. The whole focus was the connection. The whole focus was the line. Is the line straight? After all, who was greater than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Rasulullah Sallallahu is offered Nabiyun Malikun or Nabiyun Abdun. And you have the choice to choose a Nabi, a royal Nabi, in other words, a kingly Nabi, and a Nabi slave, servant. So Rasulullah Sallallahu had seen Jibreel Islam and he indicated, give me some suggestion, what should I do? So Jibreel Islam is suggesting to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabiyun Abdun, ya Abdun Nabiyun, go for that path. So the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, see, as high as he is, right? As competent as he is, as great as he is, but then too he consults, okay, what should I choose? Should I choose this or should I choose that? Now, this was that period where people felt, we have got our elders around, let's go and speak to them. Let's bond with them, let's speak to them, and allow those colors of these seniors to rub onto us. And so it happened that the colors of the seniors rubbed onto them, small things, big things, small thing, big thing, but they won't do it independently. They'll never do it independently. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come to Medina Munawwara, and the Sahaba Kiram were practicing pollinating, you know, crop pollination. They were practicing that. The date palms, when they pollinated, then they produce a very good result, very good result. So they were practicing this. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came in, he saw this and he says, perhaps you should leave this thing out. And perhaps Rasulullah had felt that this is something to do with superstition. You know? So he asked them to leave it out. So they left it out that year. But when they left it out, they had a very poor crop. Now the Sahaba Kiram, look at the respect, look how they carried themselves. Nauzubillah, they didn't feel disgusted. And we listen to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and see now what happened to the business. The business went right down. That was their business, that was the bread and butter. Imagine now 1 year and the crops just failed. They presented the whole thing back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is what happened. Without any disgust, without any feeling, but they are showing their halat what's happened. Rasulullah says to them, Antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum. Dunya matters, you people know your dunya matters better. So you carry on your dunya matters, how to farm, how to irrigate, what to plant, when. These type of things you are more well equipped. But in dini matters, dini related matters, you ask me, you refer to me. Now imagine, na'uzubillah, if the Sahaba Kiram had not consulted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had asked them not to practice that crop pollination, and they went and practiced it, right? They would have got a better crop and brought better produce, right? But would they have secured the Mubarak dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If they didn't get the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what have they achieved? Would they have got the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They would have lost out the muhabbat. They would have lost out not only the muhabbat, even the barakah they would have lost. They heard Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they got his muhabbat, they secured his muhabbat and they secured the barakah. And perhaps because of that barakat, the coming year they must have had a double crop. They may have lost now, outwardly it would seem, they lost out in this year. And the following year perhaps they may have received a double crop that covered up for the past year as well. So you see, all these people, they saw the need that we have got our elder, small things and the bigger things, we need to ask them. We can't do our own things, we can't make our own plans and our own decisions, we need to ask. They are there, we'll have to refer to them. As a result, the elders also took a liking for them. They took a liking for the elders took a liking for them, and the bond was very strong. As a result, Sibghat Allah, these people's colors rubbed onto them, and rubbed onto them very, very firmly, very, very strongly. Right? Now, you don't find that. You don't find the need to consult, to be with them, to consulting with them, to refer to them. You don't find the need for it. When you don't find the need for it, then those colors don't rub on. You will find some things coming on, right, in namaz, etc. But those colors don't move on. Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi had a student. Muhammad Yaqub Sahib is the founder of Dioban. Three, four main people, Abid Hussain, Mawla Qasim Nanutvi and Mawla Muhammad Yaqub Sahib. So he was a Shaykh al-Hadith, and he was a founder, and he was a Qutub of the time as well. So he had a student, and the student was somewhere in Meerut perhaps. So Mawlana had some complaints about the student of his, so he went up and he verified. I got a complaint about the student of mine, that he is too hard towards his wife. He's too hard. Now some people are pious, right? And that they want that piety to move overnight onto their wives. They're pious now on their own. But overnight, that piety that I got, overnight must just rub onto the wife. She must be tajud guzar, she must be doing everything to the T. Right? They don't realize that for you to come to the T, how many years it took for you to come to that level. But they want that thing, that perfection to come to that wife over everything must come. You get this type of extremism. One extremism is, you want the righteousness and the goodness to come into the next person overnight. It must just come. Right? And the other extremism is that you are totally disconcerned. Whatever she does, it's her life and I must run my life. So that means you're not a family person. You haven't assumed responsibility of a marital home. The assuming responsibility of a marital home is that you are the husband in the house, you are the teacher, you are the guide to your children. On the day of Qiyamah, for many people it will work out, the child will hold the collar of the father, Allah Ta'ala, this person, he deprived us, he kept us backwards. We didn't know what was deen. And this man is responsible for it. So on the one hand, you got this extreme that you want the person to change and he must change overnight. And otherwise you are so disconcerned that she does her own thing, you do your own thing. So these are two extremism, and it's got nothing to do with Islam. Islam has got a road of moderation. You work with the person, you talk to the person, but you look at his capacity, look at him, and then you move on. Alright, now I'm married, I'm into this life now. What do I need to do? I need to start off something. When I am the husband, I am the father of this child, I am the head of this house, then what do I do? I need to understand this. What's my position in this whole place? Is my work only to eat, to feed, and to clothe them? Or is my responsibility beyond this? One person is feeling that, well, his responsibility is just to the level of an animal. The animal also provides for its small. It provides the warmth, it provides the food, and it provides the protection. Right? Don't you find a hen will do all that? It'll provide the warmth, it'll provide the food, and it'll provide protection. So one person feels that he is an animal, and he needs to only do it for his children, for his small, to the extent that the animal does. Or does he consider himself to be a Bani Adam, who Allah Ta'ala has honored? Obviously now, in this parenting, you will have different levels, right? You will have different portfolios and different responsibilities. The mother will be doing more, but that doesn't mean that the father will not do anything. So truly there was a complaint. A woman complains, no, my husband is namazi, he sits in the bayans, everything, jamaat, zugaradi, he does everything. But he's not giving any type of quality attention to the house. He's going for the programs, etc. He'll go from 6 o'clock, come back at about 10 o'clock, or 1-2 days in the week, he's going for his tennis training and all that. He's an excellent person, character, everything. But he's not assuming any responsibility in parenting. Now that whole parenting responsibility is on my shoulder. Now is that fair? We ask ourselves, is that fair? It's not fair. Like she is also a parent, you also a parent. She is taking on some responsibility, you need to also take on some responsibility. Alright, she will do according to her capacity, you will do according to your capacity. But both are parents. Like you want the respect from the child that he must listen, he must follow, he must take instructions from you. Then you need to pass on values also to the child for you to receive that type of attention from the child. You don't pass on that values and then you want that respect afterwards, that is not fair. You pass on these values and then inshallah, Allah Ta'ala willing, you'll get that type of respect. So the mother will do according to her levels. The Shariat is very clear, very, very clear about this. That in the case of a separation, then the mother, she has the privilege of taking care of the child in his beginning years. In his primary years, 7 years of age. So she has got the right, she has got the privilege. And after that, the father takes on the responsibility. The reason is obvious. The mother looks for short-term benefits and advantages. And the father has got a vision for this child. He looks for long-term advantages. Right? The mother will look for short-term. Right? If the child is asking for a sweet, she will give it to him. Asking for ice cream, she will give it to him. But the father will say, no, you don't take that ice cream now. You don't take the sweet now. You take the sweet now, tomorrow you'll suffer. Take the ice cream now, your teeth will pain. So you don't take it now. So the father is looking for a long-term and the mother is looking for a short-term. He wants to play at some odd time of the night or the day with his friends. Mother will say, no, let him play, a small child. And the father says, no, he's going to play now, it's a wrong time, it's night. And it's going to impact on his performance for the coming day. Tomorrow he needs to go to school on time. It's going to impact upon his performance, so he's not going to go. Right. So Allah Ta'ala has given mankind, man, he's given him more vision, more sight, he can look more further than the wife. So she will do according to what is required of her, and you will do according to what is required of you. So what should you do? So you should be doing at least an hour of parenting every day, of quality time, but you need to do that parenting. Because you want the respect, when he's grown up, don't you want the respect? Don't you want him to respect you? Don't you want him to do your khidmat and your service? You want all that. You want him to be on your side. You want him to show respect. You want him to cooperate with you. You want him to be a partner in everything that you do. Don't you want that? You want that. You want all those favors, then you should be doing some type of parenting. Pass on those values to that child. You don't pass on that values, then you want all the type of favors from this child, then this is not fair. You will pass on and you will receive. You will pass on and you will receive. So you will receive that attention if you passed on. And if you didn't, then you won't receive that attention. You won't. Now these elders of the past, that's what I say, they were very considerate. They will be teaching and they will pass on. Like I said, the children also then maintain that type of relationship with their parents. The Shaykh Hamdallah says, that when I was about marriageable age, then I began to receive proposals. How elated you'll feel, huh? I got 20 proposals coming for me. What happened? You'll be above the moon, isn't it? Be bloated, huh? So he says that thou, perhaps of his piety, righteousness, virtue, etc., people had seen him, they sized him up, and he began to receive proposals. Various families and wealthy families, no, not ordinary families, I was looking on Kitab, people that owned about 2,000 hectares of farms, 2,000 hectares. All the works, they got dairy and whatever else, whatever. Only one daughter, that's a successor to the throne, complete. Imagine today's time, what they'll say. They say that you got a good father-in-law, you're a wise person. That's what they say. You got a wealthy father-in-law, you're a wise person. So everything is measured according to rands and cents. Right? So now, all these type of proposals coming to Sheikh. Now, his father sits with him and talks to him, you know what, these are the proposals that are coming for you. Do you accept it or not? See, parenting, you see, you talk parenting. How do you bring up the child? So, Sheikh declined the offer. Father asked, but why do you decline the offer? So he says, you know what, in this Nawabs, this wealthy class, the wealthier class, what happens is the wife sits on the charpai, she sits on the bed, and the husband must sit on a kaleen, on a carpet, right, down. And every 5-10 minutes, you'll have a pan, you'll have this chewing gum, you have this chocolate. He must offer all the time. Understand? You'll have to offer all the time. Now that's the Nawab style, you see. Nawab style, now you have to act according to protocol, you belong to that class. So you must act according to protocol. You'll have this chewing gum, you'll have this sweet, you'll have this chappies. What must I bring for you? So he has to spoil all the time, see. So Sheikh says to his father, Abba, I won't be able to manage all this thing. You're giving pan all the time and giving chocolates all the time. I won't be able to manage all this. So his father says, now this is parenting, you see. See how the father is talking to the child and opening up his mind. He says, when I was your age, proposals came for me as well, and from similar wealthy class people came to me. My father asked me about it as well. Like I'm asking you, my father asked me as well. So my reply was, you know, now alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, chatai par baitne ka mauka milta hai. I sit on the rough surface, on a grass mat, you know. Now if I'm going to get married into a Nawab style, then I'll never get the blessings of sitting in a straw carpet, on a straw mat. Now then Sheikh says to his son, the father says to the son, look at your answer and look at my answer. Which answer has got pride and arrogance, and which answer has got humility? Now you see, parenting. Parenting is not just giving a story and giving them kasra time. You may be pious on your own way, but are you giving that parenting? Are you doing parenting? Are you giving that values to the child? And especially nowadays, when there is so much of challenges that the children have to go through, are you there for these children? So if that quality time is given to the child, you have got a time, and you know that this is the time, they know that this is the time. You have got a system in the home, for example, that by Maghrib everybody must be at home. Later, Asr, and by Maghrib everybody must be at home. After Maghrib you are eating, and you got an hour, and you're talking, you're making, like I recommend, you know, at least 5 things. The Fazail Kitabs, Besi Zewar, Quran Sharif, Zikr and Dua. The Fazail Kitab, because it will motivate. From the first day that the child attends a school, right, you motivate the child. You know what, I want you to bring all A's. Don't you say that motivate, I want to see your report. What is this? You are motivating the child. You must go for tuition. You must get good marks. You must come up with good results. So aren't you motivating? And you come up with good results. I'm taking you for Umrah and I will do this for you. What is all this? It's motivating. So man requires that type of motivation. Doesn't he require motivation? Now you do this, I'll buy a car. Doesn't it happen? Or a poorer person will say, no, I'll buy you a brand new bicycle. I'll buy something for you. Don't you motivate? And the child also looks at the motivation and he gets motivated. So you need to have some type of motivation. I'll do this and I'll get this type of reward. I'll do this, I'll get this type of results. This type of perks I will get. He needs to have that type of motivation to drive him towards the good. So now what's going to drive the child? You've got these Fazail Kitabs and they motivate. They motivate. I don't say you must be dry in your talim. In the talim also, it will be a little bit juicy. Child is good, he's attentive. You gave him something more. They take 5 rands or take something. Bought an ice cream or something and you offer the child. So you make it a little bit juicy, make it a little bit interesting. Bring it to the child's level. Right? The Fazail are at the level of an adult who's educated and he's an adult. So it's at his level. Now you take the pains of reading that thing before you sit with the children and bring it to his level. See? Now that's a father, that's parenting. That's you call assuming responsibility. You bring yourself to the level of the child. What is his level? How can I explain this to him? How can I make him understand this? And mind you, this is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, the Muslim's way, the Anbiya's way is to put those concepts into the person's system. He's taking a sahabi to an orchard or to a tree. and he's shaking the tree, shaking the branch. And then he says, you read your namazes with jamaat and your sins will fall off just in this way. He could have sat the sahaba ikram there and then. Right? And tell him, you know, your sins will fall off. Just how, just like the trees, leaves will fall off. But he took him there physically and demonstrated the whole act to him. Now, the thing is vivid in his mind. Hey, sin will just fall like this. The sabak is entrenched into the system. So this is what is called parenting. This is what is called affection. This is what is called compassion. And you took that child, you took that pain, and you did that. Now it conveys a different message to the child. Otherwise the father says, the child says, no, this father of mine is very rigid. There's no parenting. So that motivation, how do you motivate the child? How do you motivate the child? Sometimes it may have happened that you were a little bit hard with the child. Though you have done it for his own good, you have spanked him, you have beaten him up, you have done something to the child. But by the end of the day, you need to cover it up now. Otherwise, there's going to be a distance between you and the child. You hit the child, you spank the child, or you reprimanded the child. And now, because of you spanking the child, now there's a distance. He can't speak to you freely. Or you can't feel to him, you can't speak to him freely. And you want to pass on good values, but there is a gap between you and the child. So the father needs to be few steps ahead. Kaji, I have caused this now. It was required for me to do this for this child. But now how do I cover up? How do I compensate for this? And keep that passage of communication open with this child. Now when you understand that you understand parenting. See how Nabi somehow he's done it. He's taken the sahabi and he's done it. See? That sahabi is asking about the license to commit zina, right? And then how Nabi Sam conducts him, how he carries himself with that person. He doesn't reprimand him, he doesn't scold him, he doesn't shout him. He says, well, will you like someone to do this to your mother? No, I won't, definitely. To your sister, definitely not. To your daughter, definitely not. Then others also will not like it. Then he makes dua for him. So now this is called parenting, this is called compassion, this is called love, this is called, you know, you've got a system, you've got a style. And I think he's gone so deep into the system of the sahabi, the sahabi ikram says there wasn't a person who was more distanced from zina, any time of illicit activity than this sahabi. But how Nabi Sam carried himself with this sahabi? So these stories that are there, now, if you have got the love, the affection, then you need to carry yourself like how a Nabi will do it. In a Nabi's style, there's a lot of illustration. It is not just abundance of information, but a lot of illustration. How do you go about doing it? And the illustration is thereafter deeply entrenched into the system. Now it's an unforgettable memory. He says, I won't forget it. Sahabi will say also, I won't forget that. As though I can see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is how he said this. That memory is so deeply stuck into the person's mind. So this is one aspect that is motivation. There's so much negative, so many things that are motivating the child. You tell the child about namaz and the sawab that he'll get, he's not so motivated. But you tell him, I'll give you a cell phone, you know, top of the range, with all the features, full house, and the child is prepared to do your work. So he's motivated that way because the father didn't take the pain to motivate him the other way. You won't say with the association, you won't be negative. You say, no, I didn't take the pain to motivate him the other way. Had I motivated him the other way, he would say, this is kachra, I don't want this. Now that is motivation. How do you motivate the child? He wants to buy a phone. He says, no, I need to ask my Abba first. He won't take it himself. And today's style is, no, I must take it. I'm independent, I can think for myself. I know what's good for me. That's today's style. Then he must land himself into problems and then pull himself out of the problem. What a difficult task. What a big challenge you're putting onto the child. You must put yourself into a problem. You must bail yourself out. It's your life. You do what you want. So the first aspect is motivation. Now when the child is motivated, then what does he want? You say, well, if you perform your namaz like this, you get so much of sawab. So the second thing in the motivation will be, he'll want to know, how do I go about doing it? And he told me to read namaz, sawab, tasbih, all the guna, get maaf. But how do I go about doing it? You need a direction. So for the direction is, best is ever. That's giving all the direction. Your roza is like this, your namaz is like this, your hajj is like this, the haze is like this, the taharat is like this, the janabat is like this, the wuzu, this will invalidate the wuzu. So he knows what's the farais, what's the mustahab. He knows what is here and how to keep the hair and when to shave off the hair. He knows what is satar, which part of the body do I cover, and which part of the body I can uncover. He knows everything. So that's giving him a direction. Otherwise he says, no, nobody told me about it. I didn't know about it. So the one side you're giving, you are motivating, and the second, you are also giving a direction. And how important it is to give a direction. Was a 70-year-old person, and I had to talk to him about namaz. So he said, well, I haven't missed one namaz in my life, but I was doing all my namaz wrong, because my recitation was just in my mind. There was no verbal recitation, I was just doing the recitation. 70 years, at the age of 70, he was motivated, but he didn't know these details. As a result, he was having time to repeat all the namaz, because he was just doing it mentally, he wasn't doing it verbally. Absolutely, no use of the tongue. One person says that I kept on divorcing my wife, you know, just to frighten her. How many times you have done it? Over 100 times. Over 100 times just to frighten her off, and he's giving her divorce by you living in haram. So this is because there is no direction. So the one side, one person over 80 years of age, he tells me that I was making wuzu. I asked him to read the basis over, you know. So he said, I was making wuzu, and I didn't know it was important also to wash the heels. All these years I was doing the wuzu without washing the heels. I was washing superficially, and I wasn't washing the heels. Now, at the age of 80 now, only he understands the masla. Imagine. So direction. That's the second thing. And the third thing that goes in this talim is some portion of the Quran Sharif must be recited. You know, a lot of us may have heard of the late Mr. A.M. Mullah, right? Alright. I don't want to talk about his weaknesses, but one good thing I want to talk about him is he was a trustee in this Anjuman school and Orient school and all that. And there was a board meeting there. And the board meeting was about the reciting of the Quran Sharif. I'm talking about way back in the 60s. The reciting of the Quran Sharif. And the board was discussing that we don't need to get the child to complete the Quran Sharif from cover to cover. Because he can recite. When he can recite, what's the need to complete the entire Quran Sharif from cover to cover in school time? He can read 1-2 sibaras enough, now put him something else. So the man stuck his guns. What he learned from his elders, you see that contact with the elders he had, although not complete. The wrong is wrong, we leave the wrong to himself. But I'm talking about the good that the man had. Right? He says, no, we must get the child to complete the Quran Sharif looking inside. In the school, you have to do it. And the reason he says is it's likely that at least 80 to 90% of the children that are attending the school, that may be the only khatam in their entire lives. Is it a possibility or not? Is it a reality or not? It's a reality, genuine. That was the only khatam he did for his entire life. Now, why should we deprive him of this opportunity as well? See. So you look at any madrasa, any system, any madrasa from the east to the west, you'll find that in the talim, in the imparting of the talim, there must be the recitation of the Quran Sharif. There must be something in it. Why are they emphasizing on the recitation of the Quran Sharif? So that's an integral part of the talim. We are doing the Fazail Kitab, then we are doing Besi Zewar. Then we are doing the recitation of the Quran. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And remember, there can't be a substitute for the recitation of the Quran Sharif. You can't put a CD on and say, no, we did the Quran Sharif. Like, you listen to a radio program, educational, but because of that educational program, you can't tell that the child mustn't do his assignment. No, he went to he heard the program. You won't say no. He must do it, his assignment as well. He must do his assignment. That's a different thing. This is a different thing altogether. So exactly the same, the child mustn't end the day without the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Imagine the child preserving the word of Allah Ta'ala in his heart at the beginning of the day. Allah Ta'ala will take care of him for the end of the day. See all the challenges that are coming, all the fitnas that are coming. So he needs to defend himself. He needs some type of a defense kit that he can sustain all these challenges. Otherwise, he can be swept off his feet. So you'll preserve the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala's kalam, and Allah Ta'ala will preserve you for the rest of the day. The same, you will read the kalam of Allah Ta'ala at night. Allah Ta'ala will take care of you for the entire night. This servant of mine, he remembers me, he takes my words in the morning, and he goes off to sleep with my words. So I must take care of this child here, this person. So that's the third thing, the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Right? Then a little bit of zikr. Because the knowledge can only work if there is a level of taqwa. If there isn't taqwa, then the knowledge will be used for your convenience. You will be using knowledge for what? You will use it for your convenience. Wherever it suits you, you will use the knowledge. You just put that knowledge just for your convenience. One person divorced his wife, so he went out to one mullah or whatever. Master, see me right, I'll see you right. See right, everybody sees right. So you see me right, I'll see you right. So, he says, no, the talaq didn't take place. Why? He says, because this is a villager that is issuing a divorce. He is delivering the divorce, right? And they don't say talaq, they say talaq. Talaq. Talaq is a meaningless word, so it's no divorce. It's a meaningless word. Because it's a meaningless word, man got it, he was seen right. So he was seen right, you have to work out a plan for this person, yeah? You see, that knowledge has to go with taqwa, with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, then it will take you right. And if it isn't, then you start working plans for everybody. Convenience. You take out plans for everybody, anybody. So the Mufti Sahib that was presiding over the whole thing, he was one sharper. He says, alright, how long you married? 30 years. How many children you got? 7 children. So, at the time that the Mulana was doing your nikah, he did your nikah, did you say, nakahtuha? Nakatua. What do you say? Oh, nakatua. So your nikah was not right. So all his children are haramis, illegitimate. That was the last thing that he wanted to hear. My children, my integrity, all haramis. So if the nikah was right, then the talaq was also right. And if the talaq was wrong, then the nikah was also wrong. That was the last thing that he wanted to hear. See. So what I say, that has to be supported with the zikr. Zikr will conscientize. No, Allah Pak is watching. Allah Pak is seeing me. I'll have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. How can I face up with him? How can I face up? Am I true? Am I honest? You know, nobody is watching, but Allah Pak is watching me. So that zikr will conscientize. Allah Pak is watching. I can make a deal here, you know. 1 million I can get here. But Allah Pak is watching me. Must I do it? Mustn't I do it? So that's the fourth thing that we need to have in a daily program. And like I say, if you are a parent, you assumed a responsibility, and you have to accomplish, no matter what, quality time you have to give it to the child. It's your child, you will be answerable for that child, and according to the zamana that you are living in, you make every other arrangement, don't you? You don't say, no way it comes in the Quran Sharif and the Hadith, you must do this like this. I can ask you, right, according to the times you are living, so nowhere in the Quran Sharif, it is stated that you must have a municipal water line. And even the Quran does it state, you must have a municipal water line. No, it states, you must have an electricity cable. But why do you connect it? You know, we're living in this time here. In this time, we need to see what is manageable for us. So we're living in this time, then we need to see what is manageable, what is going to sustain our deen. Right? Like that home cannot be sustained without an electrical cable, without a municipal water line. It can't work. Exactly the same. This home cannot work when there isn't this type of functioning in that home. Are you asking why there is trouble, why there is no understanding, why there is no system, why everybody is taking his own way? But what was required, what was the basic of that home? The basis of the home wasn't there, but this home must go off. So there can't be a thing that, there can't be a substitute for this Quran Sharif. You want the jinnat to be out of your home, you want fights to be out of the home, you don't want the jadu asar to come to your home, you don't want nazar to come to your home, then recite the Quran. It's a protection. Fi shifa'ul linnas. Allah Pak says shifa, it's a shifa, it's a cure. Basically the cure for spiritual diseases, but everybody is unanimous that it is a cure for physical illnesses as well. For illnesses that are physically related, it's a cure as well. That Sahaba Kiram went one place, and one person was bitten by a scorpion. He was crying for no more, the leader of that community. And one Sahabi had recited Surah Fatiha 7 times and he blew, came right. So if it is a cure for spiritual illnesses, for doubts, suspicions, etc., for wrong beliefs, it's a cure, then it's a cure and a treatment for physical illnesses as well. So that's the fourth thing, zikr, right? And the fifth thing, like I say, that the challenge is so great that we can't face up to these challenges. So we ask Allah Ta'ala's protection. At the end of this whole thing, we're asking, making dua to Allah Ta'ala. And I tell you that the greatest gift that the father can pass on to a child, what's the greatest gift? The greatest gift is that that father has linked up his child to Allah Ta'ala. Because if the father is around or not, the child feels very secure. My father has left us in a very secure place. We aren't orphans. He's left us so secure. He's linked us up with Allah Ta'ala. That we're not lost at any time. Alright, we'll feel hurt for the separation. But he's linked us up to the right source. So at the time of need, at the time of difficulty, at the time of want, we know where to go. We know what buttons to access. We know which home and which abode to access. We know it exactly. So we know how to ask Allah Ta'ala. We know how to beg of him. We know how to draw from his favors. See this parenting, right? And you see the unfair attitude that we have got, most men have got, that we shift this entire responsibility on the woman as though she's got the time for Africa and we're too busy. No, it's not right. It's not fair. It's unfair. When the challenge is so great and we need to get involved, or tell us everything else, leave it for some other time. Gee, but this is a primary responsibility. You're going to be answerable for it. See? So what I was getting at is, Allah Ta'ala speaks about this Bani Adam, right? And the comprehensive nature that this Bani Adam has got is so comprehensive. And I was speaking about Al-Mawad Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi, and where he asked his Ustad, Al-Mawad Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi, you know what? Give me this, shift this, just bless me with this blessing of Jinnat, that I can have some control. So Mawlana's Ustad's answer was, tell me, Allah Ta'ala made you as a lord and a king, or as a slave and a servant? When he's made you a slave and a servant, then behave as a servant. Don't behave, don't assume the position of a king and a boss. He's made you a slave, then remain a slave. Now you're a boss and you want to control everything else. Leave that. He's made you a slave, remain a slave. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq.